This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And thanks for being here as we begin another week of Inside Douglas County programs. Going to talk about the Fish Food Pantry today. David Graham's executive director, Carla Rohde, one of the board members. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So I guess, David, first of all, just sort of paint a quick picture for somebody who might not be familiar. What is the Fish Food Pantry? What's it all about?
Well, sure. The pantry that has now been here in Roseburg for 50 years basically serves a very important role. We provide food and supplies for anyone in an emergency need. So basically, we fill the niche between a short-term problem where you're living paycheck to paycheck, or a fire might happen, or some emergency happens where you can't get food, or you'd have to sort of decide which way you're going to go. That's where we can step in, provide at least a month's worth of food for people, supplies that they need. And they are able to do that through our program just because of the generous donations that we receive.
And you've been sort of a newer part of all this.
Yes, just from the beginning of the year I joined on. So it's been an exciting and wonderful time for me to kind of help both establish myself and help the fish kind of grow into the next 50 years.
So, Carla, talk about your work as a board member. How long have you been part of all this?
Well, I've really been part of the Fish Food Pantry for most of the last 30 years. But the reason I am a board member now is because I'm the project coordinator for the Roseburg Food Project, which is what I would mostly like to talk about.
Well, there's a lot of things. Before we get to that, I know that you had a big food drive recently.
You know, we've been able to, post-COVID now, we're at least getting close to that, we've been able to have a couple of food drives. Last month, we had a tremendous one through Grocery Outlet that delivered somewhere over $3,700 worth of produce and foods to us through the donations they received. And we actually have another food drive going on right now through the Wilson's Rosa Chapel. They actually called us and asked to bring out one of our food barrels. They're doing a drive there, drop by the funeral home and deliver some foods there. It's going to be a great little thing for us.
So, Carla, talk about how this Roseburg Food Project got started.
Well, we're now 10 years old, so that's a big accomplishment. We're 10. Fish Food Pantry is 50, so we are really celebrating this year. It started because of a man down in Ashland who had this great idea, sort of based like the March of Dimes, where you have a neighborhood and you agree to go around and canvass your neighborhood and ask people to take a recyclable green bag and fill it over 2 months, and then we'll come to your front porch and pick it up. Our little logo that says on our card is, you want to help, we make it easy. And that is exactly the way it goes. Because you might think, yes, I want to take a bag of food out to the pantry, but we really ever quite get to do it. And so this is incredibly easy for people. And we have become so successful. We have about 70 neighborhood coordinators, but we're always looking for more. And then we have between 800 and 900 food donors all over the town. We have neighborhood coordinators that go in their own physical neighborhood, but we also have walking groups. We have a prayer group. We have a bunco group. And so whatever your little quote-unquote neighborhood is, then you can make that into something that gives back to the community and makes you a part of the community. The other thing we say about the Roseburg Food Project is building community and sharing food. And the building community part was the most important to me when I found out about it. Because you can, if you're happily, can go to your cupboard and you open it and there's food in that cupboard, you don't really understand food poverty until you see an empty cupboard. And so this helps spread the word among people that, I can help in this way, and I now understand a little bit more. And David does a great job of explaining how it is emergency services. It's not giving a handout to people that don't deserve it. We have very few people who repeat. We keep statistics, and so we know that around 41% only come once a year, and they can come once a month to get food at the food pantry. The other thing that the Food Project has done is given us a ton of variety. And we have, over these 30 years, we've seen a great reduction in the amount of food that we get from the government, from the National Food Bank. And so we really need the supplemental food that we get from the Food Project.
So this model is interesting because, I mean, 800 to 900 donors, you wouldn't have 800 to 900 people make the drive over to your place and drop off food probably.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. This became such a positive impact, I think, across the board. It allowed everyone, those that didn't have the time to come out to our shop, those who didn't have a lot of time to donate or any idea of how they would donate, this gave them an opportunity and an option that that makes it so simple. And as Carl said, it's become just our major source for providing extra food and extra donations that come out to our community.
So, Carla, when you talk about the food, what kinds of things do you tend to get?
We ask for non-perishables, but in the summer now we have several, if not many, home garden gardeners who will bring fresh produce. But on the day that we do the collection, which is every 2 months on the same Saturday, we ask for non-perishables. When you get that green bag to fill, we give you a food list of the things that we like. And some of the things are something you would not really think of. Things for seniors. We have a lot of seniors who frequent our food pantry, and so items for them, helpful. And we have a wonderful volunteer who gets all the food, the non-food items, separated out into things, little packets for the homeless. So that's great. So we give you a lot of guidance. One of the things that we like to say to people is it helps you to make a connection to the people who need food. When you go to the grocery store and you are physically shopping for somebody else. And so what I do is I go and I see what's on sale so that I can make the most out of the money that I'm donating, basically. Other people like to go and just say, hey, what do I like to buy? What do I want? And so again, that offers variety for people instead of just this little tin can of green beans that comes from the government that doesn't even have a cute label on it. They can go, and this is what they do, they shop for their own groceries. So they can go to a table and say, oh my gosh, there's something here that I really like. It's not just, one time we went through, we got a lot of, what was it, the yellow beans? We got split peas. We had tons of pallets of split peas. Yes. We were practically throwing them at clients because we had so many. So this just really supplement. And it's fun to watch people shop because they're actually shopping. They aren't just going through and getting what is very ordinary. They can get fun things.
We'll have, at times, and Carlos, correct, you go through the green bags as they come in. And this last drive, we did at least a little over 11,000 pounds of food that came through. And from that, people were bringing in everything from truffled butter to just unique and unusual items, some of them coming from other lands, other places. We had some sweets that came from Egypt, some canned tuna that came out of Italy. Just amazing. And you look through this stuff and it's like, I don't even find these things in our regular grocery store. It's really neat to be able to see them come in, and it just adds, once again, another layer of variety and a little layer of interest for all of our clients as they come through.
Well, and for people in need to be able to get some variety and to get something that you know, they're just trying to deal with necessities, but to get something that they really wouldn't buy but really would like to enjoy, it's got to be a nice treat too.
An extra plus. Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk more about this when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Twelve 48 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. On tomorrow's program, Wayne Stinson, Douglas County's emergency manager. We'll talk about the whole topic of emergency management as it relates to county government and to you as well. We're talking about the Fish Food Pantry today. David Graham, executive director, and Carla Rohde, one of the board members. And Carla, one of the things you were talking about too during the break is the fact that people that use the pantry, by and large, are rarely there. I mean, if they really come to the pantry, they're really, it's really been a especially tough time. It's not the norm.
Right. The fact that so few of our clients come every single month, we keep statistics, as I referred to before. And so it really is, as David says, emergency services. The other thing is that I see people come, they have jobs. It's just they may have one or two part-time jobs. That does not pay the bills. And so by the end of the month, our client load goes up because they've run out of the money that they have to buy. And so once in a while, we'll see them go through and they'll say, no, you know, I have enough macaroni. I don't need any macaroni, but I really need this. And we buy meats for them because we get less and less meat and fish from the government. So we are now buying meats so they have a selection of meats they can get. But again, it's not meat for a month. It's meat for when you've run out at the end of the month. And we didn't have a label for it before David attached that emergency services. And I went, well, yes, that's exactly what it is. So to think that people are coming and taking advantage of the pantry just isn't true. They can come once a month. And so that makes it truly emergency services.
Well, and obviously with the inflation situation now, when you, I mean, anybody, regardless of your income level, you walk out of the store and you're like, did this used to cost this much?
Yeah.
You know, and there are certain items that are have gone up substantially. And so that's got to make it even tougher for these folks.
Oh, so much so. And you're absolutely right. You think about it, the cost of a standard purchase for a family of four for groceries was around $350 a week. Now it's around $600. So it's nearly doubled in costs, depending on the kind of items you're talking about. From our perspective, and I think that's really the key thing. We're one charity of many, but we don't overlap into other areas. There are charities that are focused on the homeless, charities that are focused on those that are chronically in need. We're here, although we serve some of those. We're really here again for those times when you most need it, and at only when you need it. And we have story after story of people that now have become donors to us that years back, a gentleman that's a farmer who comes in once a month with 50 to 100 pounds of onions, 100 pounds of potatoes, all the things out of his farm. And he has told me he does this because his mother back 30 years ago went to the fish to get them through. And without that, they wouldn't have had dinner for the end of the month. And for him, this is his way to return that favor, return that gift. So from us, it's just beautiful to see that within this community.
Well, and, you know, we've seen different phases of that. During one of the downturns, I think it was probably the 08-09 recession, and there were a number of companies that had left the area. And at that point, it was flipped. There were people that were longtime donors of different groups that were coming in asking for help because maybe they both lost their income because of where they worked and all of that. So when people are able to pay it forward, that's got to feel good.
It does. And to relieve that the idea that there's a stigma attached to coming to the fish. That's probably our most important step. We want people to know that we're here, we're there, we're here for you, and we're here for them at any point in time.
Now, how many people do you have on your board?
We have a board of 14.
Yeah, it's sponsored by 6 churches, and each church can have 2 representatives, and then we have 4 at-large positions. Yeah. The treasurer, me as the project coordinator, and then we have a couple left that if we see a need, we can put them in that at-large position. So they have also, the 6 churches are the ones that started this that long ago, 50 years ago. So it has given us a great basis of volunteers, but I think David would also say we could always use more volunteers. Sometimes we're full up, and the volunteers love to work at the pantry. So this is outside of the Roseburg Food Project. So we have volunteers that work at the pantry, and again, they're dedicated. Some of them are saying, you know, we understand what hunger is, and so we're here, and they're so helpful to the clients. So it's great.
We have a great board. Out of all of them, very active, many again have been with that within their roles or participated within the fish from 20 to 30 years back. They can roll back. So it's great to have that kind of support, and it makes my role a whole lot easier.
Well, and one of the things that along the way you added, and I'm kind of curious how this works with this, is a connection in with DoorDash.
Well, that is another area that we're very proud of. DoorDash had created a sort of a template for delivering food from food pantries out to the people that couldn't get to us. And we adopted that early on and have built quite a program with them. So essentially what it is although anybody can come to the pantry, what we saw was people that might be riding a bus trying to take home a large box full of groceries is very difficult. People that may have suffered a leg injury or couldn't drive or don't have a car. So for them, the option we have now is they simply call the pantry. We then will set up several questions. We know what they need. We'll put together that box of food for them, and DoorDash will then pick it up from us, deliver it directly to their house at no cost. It saves money from our end, since DoorDash does not take anything from away from our funds, does not cost the client, our people that are delivered to, it doesn't cost them a dime. It's been just a wonderful combination of the corporate community kind of contributing to what we do.
Well, and especially I would think for the elderly or even maybe single parents at home that, you know, if you've got 3 or 4 kids, yeah, trying to get them all loaded into the car to go to the food pantry, maybe its own trouble.
That absolutely, and you add to that now many of the therapists, physical therapists, and nurses within the hospitals, if they have a client or patient that they know is going to be laid up, or a new mom that can't get out of the house, they're giving them our phone number so they can reach out and contact us, and we can deliver. So we do it 4 days a week, and our deliveries have increased probably 20 to 30% each month as we've grown that part of the business.
Just about out of time, but Carla, if somebody wants to get involved with the food project, how do they do it?
There's a couple of different websites. The one that comes to mind is RosebergFoodProject.org, and that will get you into. We have a great website also that is the same. You link from one to the other is fishofroseburg.com.
.org. It's also org.
Oh, it's also org, sorry. Yeah.
Fishofroseburg.org.
All right, a lot of information there and a lot of opportunity to help out. David Graham, Carla Rohde, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.